This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, everybody, this is your host, Charles Giuliani. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show once again here on BBS Radio. Very important guest this evening, Richard Gage, actually a returning guest. We've had him on a while back. He's back to talk with us about some of the latest findings regarding 9/11. But before we even get into that, he wants to catch us up to speed for any new listeners turning in that might not be familiar with the subject about the problems with the official 9/11 story. Anyway, Richard Gage is the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. For those of you not familiar, it's an organization comprised of professionals in the fields of architecture and engineering who question the official story about how the towers collapsed and a lot of other aspects of the 9/11 story that don't add up upon close scrutiny. These are well-credentialed professionals in their fields that, you know, for scientific reasons have brought this whole matter into question. So with no further ado, let's welcome Dr. Richard Gage. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I've been promoted, Charles. I'm not a doctor, actually. I am an architect, and I'm delighted to be here. I'm honored, in fact, and thank you for having the courage to air this critically important information to the American people.
Excellent. Glad to have you on. I thought for some reason you were also an engineer, but you certainly work closely with a lot of engineers as well.
Yeah, I do. Architects hire engineers to help us with the more technical problems associated with building, construction, and design.
And who better to speak on such matters than people like yourself that deal with these very things on a daily basis? Perhaps we should just start right there. You know, you want to share with us, with our listeners, some of the things that you and your colleagues have uncovered over the years that just don't add up.
Yes. In fact, 6 years ago, I was on my way back from a construction observation of some work we did at a local high school here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I was really shocked to hear on the radio information which I had never heard on the mainstream media. This was David Ray Griffin, now an author of 11 books on the subject of 9/11. And he was, in March of 2006, talking about this new study that had come out where 500 first responders were recorded. And it turns out that over 120 of them were actually talking about all these explosions they heard at the onset of the destruction of the Twin Towers. And we didn't know about this information until August of 2005 because the administration, Bush administration, the city of New York administration, Giuliani, interestingly enough. Mayor.
No relation.
He had had this devastating testimony because these witnesses were seeing flashes of light throughout the building as they were being destroyed, and they were hearing all these explosions. They were being blown around inside the building by all these explosions. Now, the official report aired none. Reported none of these explosions. Explosions are not a part of the official story at all with respect to either the Twin Towers destruction or the destruction of the third skyscraper, World Trade Center 7, which came down on the afternoon of 9/11.
Right.
When I saw that building come down later that day after I heard this on the radio, I went to the internet and I go, oh my God, of course, a controlled demolition. I mean, this building dropped straight down uniformly, suddenly, symmetrically into its own footprint in just under 7 seconds, as fast as a bowling ball would be dropping off the side of this building. That's incredible. So here's a 47-story skyscraper falls at free-fall acceleration, which means no resistance from any of the columns in any of the floors. Well, what happened to them? Well, they had to have been removed. That can only be done explosively, and in fact, we have precedent for such things in the old hotels in Las Vegas, for instance, where they do controlled demolition. The building drops as fast as just as if somebody's knees are kicked out from under them. So we know, and every architect and engineer knows after they see this building come down, that it's an explosive controlled demolition. In fact, there are witnesses in Building 7 that talk about explosive explosions going off. There's evidence of incendiaries. In fact, at the underneath in the bottom of World Trade Center 7, incendiaries like that produced what FEMA described in Appendix C of their May 2002 report, melted steel, looks like Swiss cheese. Its author, Jonathan Barnett, describes steel beams being partially evaporated. Well, these all require temperatures exceeding the melting point of iron or steel.
Even the FEMA report, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, May 1st, 2002, acknowledged that something was very unusual regarding some of the steel that they examined, you know, indications of some of the steel having melted and even vaporized. They admitted this.
Yeah, and yet they have no explanation for it. The New York Times calls it the greatest mystery of all in these reports.
Right.
All of this pools of molten iron, in fact. Well, they have the evidence on them of hot sulfur corrosion attacks. Sulfur is added to thermite, which is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter.
Which they call thermae.
Sulfur's added to become much more effective.
Huh? Which they call thermae, right?
Yeah, it becomes thermate when you add sulfur. Much more effective.
Right.
And so here we have the evidence of steel beams. By the way, only two steel beams from World Trade Center were saved, and this is where this evidence is found, right? What happened to the rest of the evidence? It was shipped to China within weeks after 9/11. Put on a barge and shipped to China, the illegal destruction of evidence. Well, they could do that because this was declared an act of war instead of a crime scene, which would require crime scene investigation.
But you know, Mr. Gage, and I'm sure you're aware of this, not only did it need to be examined because it was, in fact, a crime scene, regardless of the word games they want to play, but simply for the fact that by FEMA's also their own admission that, you know, you've never had a building come down because of fires, this high-rise steel building. This debris needed to be examined to make sure there wasn't some design flaw, correct? To make sure that, you know, this didn't happen again.
That's right. In fact, architects and engineers have tried to get the input data through the computers, programs, and animations that NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, used in lieu of having the evidence to try to prove that this building came down by, quote, normal office fires.
Right.
And we couldn't get it because NIST came back and said, well, that would jeopardize public safety if we were to give you that input data. What a joke.
It is.
I mean, it would jeopardize public safety to not give the architects and engineers who are saddled with the responsibility of providing safe buildings that data. So,
they weren't concerned about public safety when they were telling people in the South Tower after the North Tower had been hit. Oh, stay where you're at. There's nothing to worry about. When they knew, in fact, that a second plane was heading in its direction.
Yeah, that's a pretty damning piece of knowledge as well. There's a lot of that to go around. In fact, speaking of the Twin Towers, what we were told is that they also came down due to normal office fires. And I say normal because the jet fuel, it all burned up in 10 minutes. After that, you have normal office fires and a few damaged columns from the plane. And so normal office fires might have buckled or caused the structural weakening of some columns, and then we would have had an asymmetrical collapse. The building would have fallen over to the side. But both of these buildings exhibited symmetrical destruction all the way down the face of the building from the point of jet plane impact, like the fire first responders described, those at least 100 of them, explosions going off straight down the building, like a belt, they've said, all the way around, like all these explosions. And let's look at the North Tower first, because this is all occurs after the first 4 seconds. What happens in the first 4 seconds is that the upper 12 stories of this block, above the point of jet plane impacts, telescopes down on itself, much like Building 7. It falls almost at free-fall acceleration. So in 4 seconds, that upper block is completely destroyed. There's nothing left after that point to drive the rest of the building down to the ground. And yet, that's what you see next, is incredible explosion, the pulverization of all this concrete in the floors, and the lateral ejection of 4-ton perimeter steel sections landing 600 feet away, ejected laterally at 60 miles an hour, laterally. Remember, gravity works downward. We would expect gravity to land 110 floors all stacked up in a mangled mess at the bottom, but we don't see 50 floors. We don't see 10. We don't even see one floor stacked up down there. What we see is a pile of core columns, perimeter columns, stacked up in maybe a two-story pile. Right. And the concrete has been completely pulverized, 90,000 tons of it.
I like what Louis Cascioli, the fireman, said. He was part of the cleanup crew. He said there wasn't anything recognizable there except half of a phone keypad. Everything else was pulverized to dust. No chunks of desks, chairs, toilets, sinks, nothing.
So something did that. I mean, in midair. We're not talking about after it hits the ground.
Right.
This is occurring in midair. And there's tremendous heat going on with these pyroclastic-like clouds enfolding themselves like cauliflower, trailing these laterally ejected debris.
Which are endemic to controlled demolitions and volcanic eruptions, the only two things known to man, really, to produce those kind of clouds, right?
Yes, controlled demolitions produce extremely hot clouds, but these are even hotter because we have the evidence of incendiaries used in the 3 World Trade Center towers as opposed to high-energy explosives. So there's a lot more heat involved in incendiaries because they produce destruction by heat instead of by expanding of gases. And in this case, there's molten metal, molten iron pools of it found underneath all 3 towers. And a river of molten steel is what Leslie Robertson, the structural engineer, saw himself and described. And there's these meteorites that are cooled molten iron. We know they're iron because tests have been done and steel doesn't rust. So there's a lot of molten iron. In fact, the USGS document in all of the World Trade Center deaths, billions of tiny spheres of previously molten iron. Why are they molten iron? I mean, there's no iron in elemental iron in the steel. It's an alloy. We haven't used iron.
And of course, NIST never even addressed things like this, did they?
NIST did not. NIST completely ignored these spheres of molten iron, and they did not. They also took out of the report the forensic evidence of the hot sulfur corrosion attack and and this
temperature
is exceeding what jet fuel and office fires can produce, maybe 1,600 degrees or so.
But, one of my favorite statements, Mr. Gage, in the whole NIST report was when they said, we found no evidence of molten steel at ground zero. That's pretty interesting. They could actually legitimately make a statement like that because by the time they showed up for their so-called investigation, all of the molten steel had been removed. In fact, everything had been removed from ground zero.
Yeah. and it's true, actually, there's not a lot of molten steel. It's molten iron is what's found.
Well, right.
Which is even more damning to the official story than molten steel would have been.
Yeah.
So they're playing a lot of word games as well. Well,
right.
In fact, these molten iron droplets are the byproduct of thermite. Thermite is an incendiary that uses powders of iron oxide, which is rust, and aluminum powder, which together when ignited and mixed under the right ratio, produces incredibly hot molten iron at 4,500 degrees. So that explains the molten iron and explains the melting of all
now,
the steel.
Now, is it iron because the heat was so intense that it separated the iron in the steel from the other trace elements, the rest of the alloy?
No, it doesn't do that. No, this is a whole other foreign element. Elemental iron is
it's actually in the thermite itself, thermite or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's a byproduct of thermite.
That's interesting.
Or
I didn't know that.
Or nanothermite, which is even more interesting because an independent team of scientists led by Neil Parrott in Copenhagen finds in all of their samplings that they've done throughout the World Trade Center, independently collected, these small red-gray chips of about 16th of an inch long or so. And so
Stephen Jones was the one to first find that, wasn't he?
Who? Stephen Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct. He's one of the several co-authors of this paper. And they go in and they look at the red layer 50,000 times. And they find extremely small particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder that are 1,000 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. This is nanoscale. This is engineered from the atomic scale up. Very sophisticated thermite product, incendiary, made really by the most advanced defense contracting laboratories, and it's in all the World Trade Center dust samples. Extraordinary find, and yet this is all completely covered up and not responded to by NIST. And it's all documented in a 25-page peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. So we've not been responded to. This paper has not been challenged in any kind of scientific sense. The way to challenge somebody's conspiracy theory is to put forth a paper of your own highlighting the errors in the original paper. This hasn't been done in over 2 years. So we're looking forward to some acknowledgement on the part of scientists who take the time to read this paper and in official circles like the Union of Concerned Scientists who are now looking at this issue, we're very excited to get the word out in greater circles and force the media to respond to it, force NIST to respond to these questions. They say, well, we found no evidence of explosives. Later, they acknowledge that they never looked for them.
Incredible. And yet this was supposed to be the ultimate investigation. It was obviously a cover-up.
Yeah, 10,000 pages in their report. And most all of it is, every computer modeling of airplanes down to the turbines and complete detailed fire analysis, it's all in obscuring the specific evidence for the explosive control demolition, which is absolutely overwhelming to everyone who looks at it. For instance, in our DVD called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, which has now been played, aired, broadcast in Colorado on Colorado Public Television, Channel 12. And as a result, it achieved the number one most watched and most shared video on PBS.org in the month of September. So we're doing really well. We're getting the information, the evidence out there so people can really see it. Our numbers of architects and engineers are climbing. We're almost at 1,800 now and expect to be at 2,000 before September when we
wow.
are embarking on a mass campaign of public awareness where we'll have $200,000 worth of ads in subway systems and mass transit all around the world.
That's incredible. You want to mention, by the way, your website for architects and engineers?
Yes. The website is ae911truth.org. So that's ae911truth.org.
AE, of course, standing for architects and engineers. So ae911truth.org. You can go and see.
Google.
I believe you have Stephen Jones's research and a whole lot of other, scientifically oriented papers presenting this evidence.
Yes, lots and lots of backup here. That's true. And there's some short videos you can watch, too. The one with Ed Asner in it, it's 15 minutes long. It's a documentary about this third tower, which collapses so fast into its own footprint. It's a fascinating little production which aired to 2.7 million people on PBS all around the country in its five-minute version, played by 131 PBS stations in a little infill segment. And that's going to be playing again starting in about a week.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's very good. Very well done. You know, it's not something that somebody could so easily poo-poo at and say, oh, these crazy conspiracy nuts. It's very sound and soberly done, very professional, and it demands that you take a second look.
Yeah, it does.
And, of course, you know, there's so many other problems that go even beyond the scientific. Some of them are just simple common sense. You know, how can you have what at the time was the third known hijacked plane, Flight 77, flying toward the Pentagon, the capital of the most powerful military in the world, for 40 minutes without anything being done to stop it. I mean, it's just, this is beyond ridiculous.
It is. And so many people say, well, how can, relative to the plane that was heading to the Pentagon, and that was even longer, I think, than 40 minutes. And the Pentagon is a highly defended building, most highly defended in the world with
yeah.
any ballistic missiles. And yet they knew this was coming in and
well, when I say 40 minutes, I think it was from the time it turned around, but it was known to have been hijacked even before that.
Yeah. And sure. So here's this plane. It could have been flown straight down into the Pentagon, but no, it flies all the way around the Pentagon, giving it them ample opportunity to shoot it down.
Sure.
And it does this crazy spiraling descent that most fighter jets would have a hard time doing.
Sure.
And then plows where? Not into Donald Rumsfeld's office or the top brass even, but the auditors. The section of the Army intelligence or naval intelligence on those Army that was auditing the $2.3 trillion that the Pentagon
sure.
had lost. And so,
an area that had recently been renovated, too, to protect it from a direct missile strike or bomb blast, an area where, yeah, there weren't important staff. Oh, how convenient. They really did their homework, didn't they? We're supposed to believe that, you know, the Arab hijackers that pulled this off conducted intensive research. Oh, yeah? Why did they hit that part of the building then?
Well, because it turns out that, I don't know, 90% of the auditors looking for that money were killed. So
yeah.
It was, we can have a get a sense of who the real terrorists were just by looking
right.
at
sure.
What really happened.
Right in your face, obvious. I'm sure you're aware of the another strange anomaly. There were some satellite surveillance images taken of the Pentagon just 4 days earlier, Friday the 7th, which showed this chalk line across the lawn of the Pentagon. Are you familiar with that?
Not the chalk line, no.
Yeah, and it actually lined up with the exact flight path of the impacting craft on 9/11, and it's like they had it set up ahead of time. You know, it appears that it was the C-130 that was known to have been following close behind the aircraft. Apparently, the pilot was steering it in. That's what it looks like to me, anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's another whole story. But anyway, yeah, there's just so many problems with the official story, so many things that don't add up, that don't make sense. And, you know, we can get into some more of these things later, but we got about 5 minutes before we're going to be taking a break. It's probably not enough time to cover this, but, you know, we can finish it up when we get back. But I wanted you to share some of the latest findings that you have come up with, you and your fellow colleagues.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of new technical evidence, but there's special breakthroughs in the mainstream media that we have had and that we are having on PBS, as I mentioned on PBS, but recently last year. Two years ago now, I guess, we were on Geraldo. One of our engineers and one of our family members from our movie were the DVD 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out. We're on Geraldo, and he showed Building 7 coming down and highlighted that he may have been wrong about 9/11. It sure looks like a controlled demolition to me, I think is what he said. So it's great to have these kind of breakthroughs where, you know, millions of people see Building 7 for the first time, because it was not shown on mainstream television after 9/11.
And the 9/11 Commission didn't even address it?
Well, yeah, they didn't. They mentioned the building, but not its destruction. And this is incredible. This is the third worst structural failure in modern history, and most architects and engineers know nothing about it. And when we show them, they're just shocked. So we'll be going to Denver at the American Institute of Architects convention in June this summer. We'll have TVs up there showing the destruction of this building, and we'll show it to them, and we'll say, do you know when this happened? And they say, no. Well, this happened on 9/11. Do you know what building this is? No. That's not the Twin Towers. No, it's not the Twin Towers. We take them step by step, and they go, well, that's a controlled demolition. Well, right, that's the problem. Officials say this came down by normal office fires.
Yeah, right.
And we show them the office fires that were, you know, that had that building, which were out an hour before that building came down.
And even when they were still burning, they only covered, what, half a dozen floors, and they were localized, you know, in small areas, and they were nowhere near significant enough. And, you know, let's say there were intense fires that somehow were able to burn at 2,800 degrees. Doesn't matter. The building is not going to come down remaining level. You know, the roof was parallel to the ground all the way down. That's just not possible, except with a controlled demolition.
Yeah, and they get that. Once they get that, they go, oh, my God. And then they sign our petition. So it's just getting people, you know, aware of the evidence is the real trick.
Telling them what our news isn't telling them.
Exactly. We got to do the job for them.
Right.
Why isn't our news telling them this information, Charles?
Exactly. It's a very big problem.
We'll talk about that on the other side of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's about time for that break. So let's do that now, and we'll be back in a few moments, folks. Stick with us.
This land is your land. This land is mine.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests from various realms of interest share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's the People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And like millions of other responsible Americans, I smoke pot. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. And it's none of the government's business. Let's get the government out of our private lives once and for all and stop arresting smokers. Let's take a stand for personal freedom. To learn how you can help, go to normal.org.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. When I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Again, our guest is Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. The website is AE911Truth.org. AE standing, of course, for Architects, Engineers. Once again, AE911Truth.org. You can go there and read up on many of the things we're talking about and a whole lot more. You can see the documentation written by credentialed scientists saying that the official story. As a matter of fact, the only real scientists that haven't questioned the official story, it turns out, are those on the government's employ or those who are dependent on government grant money. That's very interesting. Makes me think of that one guy. I can't remember his name. I was a professor at the University of New Mexico. You probably know who I'm talking about, Richard. But right on the day of 9/11, he was saying the same thing. Wow, these are controlled demolitions. There's no question. You look at the footage of the collapsing towers. And within a day or two, now he's acting like he never said that. He's going along with the official story. And bingo, his office receives $12 million grant money every year from the government, or $10 million, I think it is.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. And his name is on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I can't think now.
We went out to a New Mexico Tech Institute and had a debate with him and David.
Griffin?
Tip of my tongue also. No, a physicist out there.
Okay.
David Thomas. And it was really quite comical. They're just basically lying through their teeth in defending the official story, saying things like, well, of course the building can come down free fall. How could it come down any other way? It's mostly air. Completely denying the overdesign of these columns by a factor of 3 to 5 to hold up these buildings.
Sure.
Unbelievable level of sacrificing one's soul for what, I don't know.
Oh, well, again, it's like the NIST report. Some of the heinous statements, and these are PhD-endowed engineers, they said that, you know, if there was molten steel and molten iron, whatever, they know there was, they said that could be accounted for by the presence of flammable materials buried in the pile.
Yep, that's what they say. It's a function of what happened down in the smoldering pile with all of these chemical reactions going off. Well, there were a lot of chemical reactions going off because there's nanothermite that's unignited and all the World Trade Center dust going on down there. There's molten iron. But molten iron did not come from normal office fires. The laws of physics are such that you can't have temperatures getting hotter and hotter without a massive fuel change or a blowtorch. a blast furnace in the case of making fires hot enough to melt steel. Those are not the conditions that we have down there. In fact, when you insulate a fire with dust and debris, it's going to get cooler and cooler, not hotter and hotter. And this molten metal persisted for months. That's what's really extraordinary. So we surmise that this could have been the ongoing reactions that occur with nanothermite, something which we're not very familiar with, because it's the first time that we've really seen it. It's only been discovered and documented prior to 9/11, but highly classified stuff until that point when Los Alamos Lab, Lawrence Livermore Lab, documented this stuff. And it's been developed by some of the defense contractors that were brought in by NIST to actually lead the investigation. So we actually have the wolves in charge of the hen house here. This is what you would want to do if you were going to have a cover-up. And we know that thermite is not used normally in controlled demolition. You have to remember the nature of these controlled demolitions are deceptive. They're designed to look like something else. They're designed to look like fires. So by using thermite, there would be much less sound. Still some audible explosions, apparently. We have witnesses to hear those. But not the incredibly loud bangs and bright flashes associated with high-energy explosives like C4 and RDX. So that's probably why they chose thermite and nanothermite as their source. Are you still here, Charles? I'll assume I'm on the air until I hear otherwise. So a lot of people ask, well, how could you get the explosives into the Twin Towers without being seen by the occupants? Well, if they had access to the core column and, well, the elevator shaft, they would have access to the core columns and the beams inside these towers, the critical area that had to have been removed so that these buildings could come down almost with free fall acceleration also. Well, it turns out that in both of the Twin Towers, there was an elevator modernization going on the 9 months prior to 9/11. And we had Ace Elevator, in fact, responsible for this contract, which would have given them the perfect undercover operation to plant these explosives. In fact, on 9/11, there were there were 85 employees of Ace Elevator who fled the building when the first plane hit. This was really quite a scandal because these are the experts in the elevator systems that helped the first responders rescue these victims.
Yeah.
It was documented in USA Today. You're back.
Yeah, I guess you realized I was cut off. Sorry about that. Thanks for covering for me there. I don't know. We had some technical difficulty. It took me a moment or so to get logged back in, but hopefully that won't happen again.
No problem. I got you covered, Charles.
Excellent.
So we talked about how somebody could have gotten explosives into this building, the Twin Towers, but of course we want an investigation of the security company as well.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about several hundred tons of nanothermite and thermite going into these buildings under the eyes of the security company, which, by the way, had some very interesting characters on its board of directors. The Securicom Stratasec is the company who had the contract. Interestingly, that
Bush's brother had worked for them.
9/11. Huh?
Bush's brother, was it Marvin, had worked for him, worked for them?
Yeah, he was on the board of directors.
Yeah,
I think Walker III might have been as well.
And then, of course, there's the company, Controlled Demolition, Inc., which was actually taking part in the cleanup, obviously helping to destroy evidence. You know, I don't know if you know this. I actually, as far as I know, I'm the only one who discovered this. I went on their website one day, controlleddemolitioninc.whatever.com.org, and, you know, I just wanted to see if they had any videos of some of their work to see, you know, if I could compare it, you know, with the squibs you see or with the towers, you know. And I don't know if this is still the case, but when I went, it was still the case as of about 2 years ago, the last time I looked on their website. At the top on the left, there were a bunch of clickable links. You know, one of them said government. And I thought, oh, that should be interesting. I wonder what they have to say under government. So I click on it. And at the top, it says DOD, Department of Defense. I'm like, wow, this is even more interesting. The very first couple sentences, it says, we have the years of experience and expertise necessary to qualify us to work with the Pentagon for handling sensitive domestic projects. Can you believe that?
That's fascinating.
My jaw almost fell off my face when I read that.
Sensitive domestic projects.
Uh-huh. Wow. I mean, what in the world could that be talking about other than, you know, things like this? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'd hate to speculate. Somebody will use it against me.
Yeah, right. Nevertheless, very interesting, though, huh?
Yeah.
Go look it up for yourself. As far as I know, that's still the case.
Mark Loiseau was very defensive. He went on TV saying, you know, he's been accused of mass murder. A real investigation, of course, which is what we're all about, the 1,800 architects and engineers that I represent, we want a real investigation that will leave no stone unturned and examine all of the evidence, not just which NIST decided to include in their reports, and which uses testimony under oath, and which brings forth witnesses by offering them immunity from prosecution.
Yeah.
So we can get the real story.
Sure.
That's what's needed here. And then we'll just let the chips fall where they may.
Right. I got some questions that are coming in here. And we got about, maybe 12, 13 more minutes, so it's probably a good time to get to some of these. Did you want to take some questions?
Sure.
These are coming to me via text, so I'll just read them off to you. We have one here from Ted in Illinois. He asks, are there any U.S. states where you feel there's greater potential for 9/11 truth than others? In other words, some states where you think that, you know, people are more open, maybe houses of legislation are more open to listen. Have you found that to be the case as you go around speaking?
What we did is we've done a lot of things. Every month we're doing a different set of actions. One of our more recent actions was to fax the evidence and the problem very carefully in a crafted letter to 15,000 police chiefs, one in every city of the United States. To report a crime, which is the crime of the destruction of the World Trade Center on 9/11, unsolved crime. And one of the results of that was some interesting activity in New Jersey. And so we have an attorney who's a former police officer in New Jersey. He's now going to be giving our DVD, which is 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, to every state senator and their representatives, I guess, the state legislature in New Jersey, because he feels that New Jersey has the greatest potential for a real investigation. So we're supporting him in that major project, and we're going to see, because New Jersey lost over, I think, 1,700 people of the people in the Trade Center, or 700, I forget which. And So they have a real stake here, and the Port Authority was the Port Authority of New Jersey and New York that was responsible for the building and maintaining the Twin Towers until 6 weeks prior to 9/11, when ownership was transferred to Larry Silverstein, who went on the air a year later on public television and said, well, maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it, referring to Building 7. And so they pulled, they gave the order, and we watched the building come down. So a lot of people consider that a direct admission by the owner of the World Trade Center of its controlled demolition. He, of course, denies that, suggesting...
Oh, yeah, he actually said that when he mentioned, gave orders to pull it, that he was talking about pulling a team of firemen out of there. There were no firemen in there at the time.
That's right.
And you would say, pull them, not it. Come on.
Yeah. And
what a monkey.
And they were told not to fight the fire. As a matter of fact, earlier in the morning, they weren't even in there fighting the fire.
Right. What a bunch of nonsense. He was caught with his hands in the cookie jar. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and still we can't get any teeth into the investigation of his.
Oh, I mean, come on. He only insured the thing, 6 weeks before the attacks, and it was a battle. He had the hardest time getting insurance for terrorism because, of course, it was a target back in 1993. And why did he insist so vehemently, not only insuring it for terrorism, but insuring it for twice its value? Oh, that's not suspicious at all.
He had two terrorist attacks.
Right.
He did pretty well.
Good heavens. This is, it's just astonishing. It's a sad commentary, isn't it, on our society today, that things like this can go on and nobody bats an eyelash at it. Things like this just fly right through. Nothing is done. Nothing is even said.
Well, the post 9/11 world we're living in. I mean, we've invaded two countries. A million people have perished. We've destroyed the economies of Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're no better off than they were. As a matter of fact, we've lost over 6,000 soldiers, and here at home with the global war on terror, in order to stay safe, we have allowed our legislators to take away civil liberties that date back over 800 years to the Magna Carta. We can be arrested today, held indefinitely, tortured, and even assassinated without being charged. We can be disappeared. We're living in Stalinist Russia. That's the capability of our government to impose those measures because they have the legal framework now to do it. So what the problem is, people say, oh, that's never going to happen. Well, 9/11 happened. If one 9/11 can happen, another one can happen. What are they planning next? What is the next false flag operation that will shut down the rest of our civil liberties and make this a hell on earth of a country? That's the problem. Why? What are they doing in order to take our guns away? All these things are working together to reduce our liberties and increase this power of this police state, and that's a huge concern.
I don't know if you have looked into some of the problems with the Sandy Hook incident. That's one of the things I talked about last week. I interviewed Dr. Fetzer. He's found all kinds of problems, as I have as well, looking into that. And, of course, all these school shootings upon close inspection, they just don't add up. But always, every time something like this happens, they're pushing gun control, as if doing that is actually going to make this, our country safer anyway. We've had anti-drug laws in place, and has that done anything?
there's a deeper agenda here that we all need to wake up to.
Absolutely.
And that's why people ask me, why are you so fixated on 9/11? Well, I'm an architect. I understand buildings. I know these buildings were blown up, and when other people look at them, they do too. And then they begin to ask these other questions. Well, what happened? Why were they blown up? Well, it appeared to have been an agenda. Well, what was the agenda? Well, who benefited from 9/11? It turns out the Project for a New American Century, a think tank of neoconservatives, had their agenda spelled out in their website, and it included regional hegemony in the Middle East. It included space dominance. It included
NASA. Talked about the need for a new Pearl Harbor type event. Then, of course, there's Zbigniew Brzezinski's 1997 book, The Grand Chessboard, in which he stated on page 211 that we need to have a massive, widely perceived direct external threat to justify invading Eurasia to seize its oil and natural gas and rich mineral resources. I mean, come on.
It gets pretty obvious, and then you realize they're willing to sacrifice 3,000 Americans to achieve these economic and power-hungry objectives. I'm not going to live in that world, and I'm not going to pretend that it's going on and not do anything about it.
Sure.
So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing and asking every one of your listeners to join us in waking people up. And one of the ways people get woken up is to realize that these buildings were destroyed on purpose, and that those people were murdered, and that we were all, as a country, manipulated. That was a turning point for me personally, and so that's why I push it, because it's a turning point for millions, actually.
Sure.
Sandy Hook and other events like that may work better for other people. Whatever it takes. We've got to wake people up in this country, because we are heading in the we're heading south real fast.
Yeah, it's very scary. But you're right. Once you see this, once you realize what's going on, you're compelled. Your conscience drives you. You have to speak out. You have to share what you found. In the last few minutes here, I get a few more questions. Hopefully, we can squeeze them all in. Mary in New York asks, does Richard think that President Obama is as bad as Bush, in that he refuses to consider another 9/11 investigation?
Yeah, any president who is going to sweep the truth about 9/11 under the rug is as bad as the one who was in power when it happened.
Sure.
And we don't know, how high this conspiracy goes. It's obviously a conspiracy, right? Even the official 9/11 attackers were conspiring. But real investigation is what's required, and I have no more faith in the current president than I did the last one.
Right. It's sad, but true.
The cover-up continues.
Yeah. And, of course, the deeper you dig into this stuff, you discover that, wow, it's been like this for quite some time. We've had nothing but shills and cover-up artists, and not just in the White House, but across the board in Congress. A lot of these people are bought and paid for before they even get on the ballot.
That's how they get on the ballot.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, we got Steve in Arizona. He asks, what does Richard think about the testimony by William Rodriguez, the head janitor at the WTC?
William Rodriguez went back into that building repeatedly to help people out of it.
The North Tower.
He's been praised as a hero by a whole lot of people. And he also documented explosions in the basement of the building, which is extremely important because there's no fuel, jet fuel down there. So it's apparent that the perpetrators were sabotaging something in the building with explosives, which killed people down there too. And that may have been the fire sprinkler system, which would, of course, put out the fires if they were working.
Right. We got Rage in the USA, he goes by. He asks, when will the 9/11 movie that's been worked on or talked about by Ed Asner and Woody Harrelson et al. Be coming out, if you know?
Confessions of a 9/11 Conspirator was the name of a movie put forth by Howard Cohen, and they're having all kinds of trouble with that. It's not our movie. We posted an article about it a year ago in our newsletter. It doesn't look good. It's embroiled in lawsuit, and I just have distanced myself from it as a result.
Okay, and I think we get one more here. Orang, he goes by, somewhere in the U.S. He asks, and I think you kind of covered this already, but maybe you can go into some more detail. Are there any plans for the upcoming anniversary of 9/11?
Yeah, we have all kinds of plans. There's a Washington, D.C. conference put on by the 9/11 truth groups in Washington, D.C. and in Connecticut. And at that time, we're going to be enlisting volunteers to help us distribute the DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, which is on our website. You can watch it. To every member of Congress. We've previously given them our previous DVD, 9/11 Blueprint for Truth. Also, the month of September, concentrating in Washington, D.C. and in New York, a global transmedia event, we are encouraging every member of the 9/11 Truth Movement to help us with the ideas for the perfect ad, a very provocative, controversial, eye-opening, jaw-dropping ad that we will put all over the world simultaneously for a whole month in the subway system on freeway blogging, signs out in front of people's lawns, I mean, just everywhere, on websites, the same ad. And we're starting a contest, in fact, next week for that ad. So I encourage you to go to our website starting next week when we get the information up, ae911truth.org, and help us to come up with this ad. There's $1,000 in prizes that we're devoting to come up with the ideal education of the public ad. A very simple
excellent
ad.
That sounds great. Okay, Richard, I want to thank you for coming on. We've run out of time, unfortunately. There's a lot more things I wanted to talk about. Maybe we'll get you on and give us an update in the future sometime.
Great. Thank you so much, Charles. I really appreciate being on the show.
Thank you. You're doing some great work. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks. You bet. You too.
Take care. Okay, folks, that's it for this week. Join us next week. We're going to be having a great follow-up to this interview. We're going to be having Susan Lindauer on. She's a former CIA asset and author of the book Extreme Prejudice, The Terrifying Story of the Patriot Act and the Cover-Ups of 9/11 and Iraq. So you don't want to miss that. Stick with us. We'll be getting into that next week. So have a great week, folks. See you then. Take care.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.